Ok, on y va. Donc j'ai mis en ligne, comme je dis, les diapos. Je vais aussi essayer de mettre en ligne le MP3 qui est en train de s'enregistrer. Mais je ne promets pas, parce que souvent ça ne marche pas. Okay. Okay. So let's have a look at immigrants in Britain, or more specifically, ethnic groups. So, vous êtes très nombreux, alors il faut que vous soyez silencieux. So here you have a list of the different ethnic groups. So these are people who are sometimes born in England, often born in England, but who identify as Indian, Pakistani, Caribbean, etc. Here you have the census in 2001, and in England, when we have a census, they ask you, are you white? Are you black? Are you Asian? Yeah. What do you think? And you choose yourself, your identity, because if your grandfather was Indian, and your grandmother was white English, you can choose. Yeah, you mark your identity. This is not possible in France. In France, it is illegal to ask to make statistics like that, but not in England. And so here we have 92% of the population say, I am white. 1.2% of the population say, I'm mixed. Ça veut pas dire qu'ils sont confus, ça veut dire qu'ils sont mélangés. Then you have a series of people who identify as Asian or Asian British. A million people say they are Indian. 1.8%. A million people say, I'm Indian. 750,000 say, I am Pakistani. 280,000, Bangladeshi. And 250,000 other Asian. Donc le reste de l'Asie, l'Asie étant très très grand, ça laisse un certain nombre de, d'endroits. Comme je dis, c'est le diapo qui est déjà en ligne d'ailleurs. Chinese, 250,000 people say, I am Chinese. Most of them were born in Britain, but they feel Chinese. It's an identity. It's an identity. And other, 230,000 say they are other. Yeah, other. Yeah. Now, sometimes they distinguish between white English and white Irish. The reason for this is that Irish identity is very important to Irish people, but also because there is some racism against Irish people, and the government wants to be able to measure. Yeah, if you are Irish, is it more difficult to go to university, for example? Because, of course, because of racism, it is more difficult to go to university in Britain or to get a good job if you are not white. That's not a secret. So, in this census, the last census, c'est tous les 10 ans, donc c'est le tout dernier, 2001, 4.6 million people said that they were from one of the ethnic minorities, and the biggest group was Indian, 1 million Indians. Remember I mentioned last week that these 1 million Indians, almost all of them can vote, because the law in Britain is rather different than in France. It is not necessary to have nationality if you want to vote. So this is an important difference. Of course, you will not be surprised to find out that the Indians, West Indians, black people and so on are more present in the big towns. Because in the 50s and the 60s, when their parents came to England, you have to go where the jobs are, and in the small villages there are no jobs. So in London, you see a much larger number of people. So if you look at London, London, the biggest city, by far the biggest city, 61% of the population is white. Okay, 61% of the population is white in India. In London, and so you have a very mixed city is London. After that, a lot of black and Asian people in the West Midlands, Birmingham, the South East. That's surprising. The South East, actually, the South East is down here. And finally, the Northwest, Manchester, and so on. One of my friends told me that the curry in Bradford is better than the curry in Bombay. I don't know, I've never been to Bombay, but that was his opinion. And again, that although I was born a long time ago, and the situation concerning racism is better today than 20 years ago, that's for certain. Nevertheless, there is still a lot of discrimination and racism. On average, black and Asian groups are much poorer and find it more difficult to get a job. If you phone the manager of a big company, "I'll meet you on Thursday," he won't be black, because it doesn't work like that. Very few high-status jobs. On average, lower salaries. However, the situation is better in the public sector. In hospitals, universities, schools, museums, the situation is better than in private companies, factories, insurance, banks, and so on. The situation is better. Now, an important law was introduced in 2000, and since 2000, I think I can't remember if I explained this last week. No, maybe not. Since 2000, public sector organizations, hospitals, universities, museums, local councils, etc., are obliged by law to promote racial equality. Donc, ils sont obligés par la loi de promouvoir l'égalité raciale. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's a new idea. Before 2000, it was, of course, illegal to discriminate directly, but the hospital could say, "Oh, all my managers are white, but you cannot prove discrimination, so there's no problem." Today, if the hospital has, say, 30% black workers and only 5% black managers, they are obliged to do something about it, to take action. Now, this is not, like in some American sectors, this is not a quota system. Il n'y a pas de quota. Ils peuvent choisir quel type d'action ils prennent contre l'inégalité. Ils ne sont pas obligés de mettre en place un quota. So this is a very new idea in Britain, 2000, to promote racial equality. For the moment, this is only the public sector. If you are a private company, you have no obligation to promote racial equality. But there is a campaign by trade unions that says everybody should do this. One of the examples that they found in a hospital is they found that when the candidates came for an interview as a manager, for some reason, the managers, who were white and who were not very racist, but they always chose the white people, because they discovered that, in fact, people who interview you for jobs choose people who are the same. And with this new law, they are now obliged to have some action on this. For example, le truc classique, le CV anonyme, yeah? With no photos on the CVs. Yeah, to insist that it must be equal and fair. Of course, this does not mean that discrimination has disappeared. It's more complicated than that. But it is something which is interesting and new. That was the last example in 2000, the law which obliges public sector organisations to promote racial equality. Before this, there were four different laws, 1965, 1968, 1976, and the one I just mentioned, 2000. It was very fast and then very slow. 1965, 3 years later, 1968, a new law. 8 years later, 1976, a new law. And then 24 years for another new law. So interesting rhythm there. And these different laws made it illegal to discriminate. And each one was a little stronger than the previous one. Now, just let me see if I can get my notes, because I think I had something very interesting to say about that, but I'm not sure. Yeah. The very latest law, there are in total five laws. 65, 68, 76, and 2000. And the very last one is in 2004, and it is the Employment Equality Religion or Belief Regulation. And this is a new law, and it says it is illegal to carry out religious discrimination. So, for example, if you are a Muslim and you want to pray in your break, the company is obliged to find space for you. It's a complicated law. The law says the employer must make reasonable efforts. So if it's a very small shop and there is nowhere, then that's allowed. But if you're in a supermarket, there's a lot of space. If you need a space to pray, the employer is obliged to find you a space to play. To pray. In general, things which are required or wanted because of religious beliefs must be treated reasonably. That's the law, must be treated reasonably. So, for example, if I am Jewish and I don't want to work on a Saturday, my employer is obliged to say, okay, except if he is reasonable. For example, if there are only two workers, the employer can say, it's not reasonable. You don't want to work on a Saturday. It's impossible. But if I work in a supermarket with 100 workers and I say, I'm Jewish, I don't want to work on a Saturday, the employer is obliged to say, okay, no problem. Okay, so this is a new idea, and of course, I'm sure you understand, a big difference between Britain and France. And this would be very, very difficult to imagine in France, where the public attitude to religion is very different. Yeah, I don't want to be polemical about it, I just explain the difference. Certainly, when French people and English people discuss together the question of religion and politics, in general, they do not understand each other. It's a very, very different way of looking at the world, yes? Can become a very violent argument. Okay, two more things. In 1976 was established a committee, the Commission for Racial Equality. Notez bien qu'on utilise beaucoup le terme racial en anglais, là où en français sans doute on dirait ethnique. Pour une bonne raison, c'est que les races ça n'existe pas, mais bon, c'est le terme qu'on a tendance à utiliser. Yes, the Commission for Racial Equality was established in 1976. C'est un petit peu comme peut-être vous connaissez le ALDE, l'autorité contre les discriminations ou quelque chose. En France, it's a very similar idea. So, if you have a situation where you think somebody has discriminated against you because of your ethnic origin, you can go to see the Commission for Racial Equality and say, yeah, I'm not happy. And sometimes it works. There have also been, over the last 40 years, a lot of racist campaigns and a lot of anti-racist campaigns. For example, here are four examples of campaigns against racism. In the 1970s, there was a very famous campaign, Rock Against Racism, which organized big rock concerts to protest against racism. This was very interesting because before this, usually white people and black people had separate kinds of music. And in Rock Against Racism, you find punk rock and reggae on the same stage, and very often they became, they influenced each other and produced some mixed music, like The Police, like Dire Straits. This comes from here. Secondly, there was the Anti-Nazi League in the 1970s and again in the 1990s, which was a campaign against the National Front. Yeah, in Britain, there have been a series of extreme right organizations. The National Front was the biggest from 1970 to 1990, then the British National Party, and today we have another one which I will talk about in a minute. The Anti-Nazi League was very, very big. Vous êtes trop jeune pour vous rappeler de la première vague de SOS racisme, où on voyait en 82, 83 les petites mains, mais on en voyait dans chaque rue tout le monde qui passait, une personne sur cinq portait le badge. C'est une énorme vague. And that was similar to the Anti-Nazi League. The Anti-Nazi League, they organized a lot of different groups against the Nazis. There was vegetarians against the Nazis, football fans against the Nazis, teachers, dockers, civil servants, miners, heavy metal fans, etc., everything. That was a very big thing. And today, you can find them on the web. There are two big, quite big organizations today. One of them is called Love Music Hate Racism, okay, LMHR, Love Music Hate Racism, why not? And the other one is Unite Against Fascism. The fascist organizations in Britain have been sometimes quite active, but they have never been big like in France. Yeah, they've never been big like in France. At one moment they had, I think today they have 15 or 20 local councillors. Moi, je crois que les fascistes ont 15 ou 20 conseillers municipaux sur le pays entier. So it's a much smaller problem. More questions about racism. There were a series of battles in the inner cities in the 1980s and the 1990s. Now, the inner cities are the poor parts of the center of town. Là, en France, on parle des banlieues défavorisées, les quartiers les plus pauvres des banlieues. En Angleterre, c'est en centre-ville les quartiers les plus pauvres, alors the inner cities. Yeah. The inner cities, ce sont les quartiers pauvres de centre-ville. Especially in Bristol, in Birmingham, in Bradford, there were a series of riots with police and young black people fighting each other. Very controversial. And in 2009 and 2010, there was some progress for the extreme rights. The British National Party won two seats in the European Parliament in 2009. This was a big event because they had never won any seats in the Parliament or the European Parliament. So they got their first two seats. It was a big thing. And we have a new extreme right group in Britain. J'ai pas parlé de ces connards, mais bon. We have a new extreme. Excuse me. We have a new extreme right group in Britain called the English Defence League. And the English Defence League organised directly demonstrations against Muslims. So when there is a new mosque which is going to be built, they have a demonstration against the mosque. And this is a new thing in Britain. And very often there is a counter-demonstration and they have to go home rather quickly. But it's something which is a rising thingy. One of the other questions about racism has been the question of asylum seekers, les chercheurs d'asile. And there was a campaign in the newspapers and among politicians in the 1990s against asylum seekers. And here you can see some of the anti-racist production. Here we have a poster, une affiche. Stop the war on asylum seekers. Arrêtez la guerre contre les chercheurs d'asile. And on the other side, you have today a poster for a free music festival organized by Love Racism. No, Love Music, Hate Racism. Now, je trouve que ma chronologie est un peu mélangée. One of the big events about racism in Britain was in 1999. And this was a special report organized by the government about the murder of Stephen Lawrence. Now, Stephen Lawrence was a young black man, and he was murdered by a group of white racist men. And when his family went to the police were not interested. They did not try to find the guilty people. And the result was that they escaped. They were not found. Everybody knows who they were, who they are, but they have no evidence. And this was very, very controversial. So when the new government came in 1997, they appointed a committee to look at the question. And this committee produced the McPherson Report. Donc c'est un rapport gouvernemental officiel fait par des grands juges et magistrats et tout ça. And their conclusion was that the British police are institutionally racist. That is to say that the problem is not that some policemen are racist, but that the normal thing to be in the police is racist. This was a big scandal. What's more, en plus, c'est écrit par un député conservateur, hein, pas du tout un petit radical qui l'écrit. So this was a big scandal, and this was the beginning of the campaign which led to the new law about promoting racial equality. And in particular, today, the police in Britain are trying to recruit more black people. And you do see quite a lot of black policemen in London, especially. Je vous rappelle qu'en anglais, britannique en tout cas, on dit black pour tout ce qui n'est pas blanc. On n'a pas à être particulièrement noir pour s'appeler black en anglais. Si on est indien ou pakistanais, ça suffit. Okay, it's the way we say things. Last question then, this is the one I mentioned. The English Defence League, who are promoting Islamophobia. And of course, the Islamophobia got worse after the terrorist attacks in Washington and New York, and in London. Now, this is 5 years ago. Peut-être que vous vous rappelez des attentats à Londres il y a 5 ans. Vous étiez petit, c'est vrai. Yeah, there were bombs in London 5 years ago, which killed, I think they killed 20 or 30 people, yeah, organized by young British extremists who were Muslims. And the result was that quite a lot of people wanted to blame all the Muslims for these five people. Yeah, we know this. Here we have some more political configurations. And these are all political representations of... These are political representations of Muslims in Britain. Well, not all of them. The first two are. On the top left, you have the Muslim Council of Britain, which is a group of mostly middle-class Muslims who try to campaign for a better reputation for Muslims in Britain. And on the other side, a more working-class political party. It doesn't exist anymore, but it existed for 5 years, called Respect. And Respect was an alliance between a group of left-wing activists and a group of left-wing Muslims. Respect, peace, justice, equality. Again, you can find this on the web. and underneath something which is not particularly Muslim, but is important to a lot of Muslims, the campaign for solidarity with Palestine. Here we have statistics. This is racist incidents reported to the police in England and Wales.
Il est extrêmement difficile de mesurer le nombre d'attaques racistes parce que beaucoup de gens disent c'est surtout pas aux flics que je vais aller.
And so it can be difficult to count them. But here are the statistics. As you can see, 1997, 13,000, 1998, 23,000, 1999, 47,000. Now, the original increase here, this rise, is probably mostly because people trust the police more.
Le gouvernement change en 97 et il y a publication de ce rapport pour réformer la police. Alors, je ne pense pas que le nombre d'attaques racistes a doublé. Je pense que c'est les gens commençaient à penser que peut-être la police les écouterait.
Okay, very, very difficult question to measure, but there are the statistics involved, yes. So, around 40 or 50,000 a year, which, on the one hand, is a lot, and on the other hand, you're talking about 2.5 million people, so, you know, it's too many, but it's not absolutely massive. Just some more propaganda. Here are the... This is a poster. Yes? Okay. The next slide, which I will show you in a moment, is a poster of the British National Party, one of the fascist organisations. And it says, it talks about some of the things which are important to them. This is a poster, and what the British National Party are trying to do here is they are trying to recruit truck drivers.
En fait, c'est une pub qui vise à recruter des camionneurs.
Okay. Now, why truck drivers? Truck drivers in Britain are generally white. They are often very isolated people, and it is easier to impress them with racist propaganda. And so here we have the arguments. Highest fuel tax in the world.
Les taxes sur l'essence c'est plus fort ici.
Foreign workers taking HGV jobs.
Yeah, ce sont les étrangers qui prennent nos emplois.
And finally, the European Union regulations are strangling our industry. Remember, in general, the English do not like Europe very much, and the nationalists are very, very hard on Europe. They don't like Europe at all. There you have the statistics underneath. In May 2006, the racist British National Party got 54 local councillors. Donc dans le pays entier, ils ont eu 54 conseillers municipaux dans les différentes villes.
Donc je pense qu'en France, le Front National, on est à autour de 1000, non? Quelque chose dans le genre. Okay.
But this was the highest number for several decades. However, this year, in 2010, they lost half of them. And today they have 26 council seats across the country. Again, the British National Party and their slogan, Britain is full up.
Montagne, c'est rempli, il n'y a pas de place.
Ok? And then the other slogan, look at the other slogan there. British jobs for British workers, yes? Classic racist slogan, nationalist slogan. British jobs for British workers. There you go. Now, this became a little complicated last year because some of the trade unions defended the slogan, British jobs for British workers. And so it became a much more controversial question. Traditionally, the trade unions have opposed these ideas, but some of the trade unions, a minority, but some of the trade unions were saying British jobs for British workers. Sometimes the situation has been complicated. For example, there was a building company in the north of England, and they recruited some workers from Romania, and they kept them in a separate caravans. They didn't allow them to mix with the English workers.
and they paid them much less, and they controlled them, and this caused a lot of conflict between the Romanians and the British workers, who were unhappy because the others were being paid much less, and so they were losing jobs. Yeah, the conflict can get rather complicated. Just one more kind of nationalism, not quite the same, not exactly so racist, and this is the United Kingdom Independence Party. And this is a party which is, it's not really a racist party, but they are against European Union. Yeah, they want United Kingdom independence, and in particular, they are very frightened that England will start using the euro. Yeah. Now, in some ways, they're a little bit unusual. Ils ont un côté anecdotique, genre chasse nature, hein? But they got a lot of votes. In the last elections, they got a lot of votes. I cannot remember the numbers, but it was a serious political event. You can see in this picture here, you have the European Union in the form of a bird who is eating the British man. Okay? Why not? So these are some of the different things. Here we have two newspapers. On the left we have The Sun, which is a very conservative newspaper. But this is in fact an attempt at an anti-racist front page. Donc vous avez une série de jeunes et chacun porte un pancarte avec l'insulte raciste qui lui correspond, si vous voulez. Hein? Donc le juif il porte sa juif et le noir nègre etc. And qu'est-ce que nous avons tous en commun? Alors même pour un jeune conservateur, c'est une tentative, pas de très bon goût, mais une tentative de dire que le racisme c'est mauvais. And on the other side, you have the New Musical Express, which is a young people's music magazine. And they are advertising love music, hate racism, with a free CD. Here we have some older ones, 1970s, 1980s. On the left, then, we don't need no Nazis. Notez bien la grammaire informelle. Donc, si vous écrivez dans un examen, il faut écrire, we don't need any Nazis. Yes? But in informal English, we don't need no Nazis. Stop them now. This is the anti-Nazi league in the 1990s, I think, on the 1980s. Mass meeting and film, the facts on the British movement to the National Front. And again, on the other side, a record, Rock Against Racism record, including then songs from some of the most famous anti-racist bands. Of course, The Clash, you know. Aswad, maybe you don't know. Punk bands like X-Ray Specs, Stiff Little Fingers, I recommend. Tom Robinson Band, The Piranhas, Elvis Costello and the Attractions, etc. Again, anti-racist campaigns today. Big campaign here, Unite Against Fascism. Use your vote, stop the fascist at BNP. Again, and the other one is an interesting one because it's Show Racism the Red Card, donc montrer le carton rouge au racisme, and it's a specific campaign against racism in football because racism has been more noisy and more visible in football grounds. Very often, black football players have had a lot of insults and things like that. So this is a specific campaign for football, and they would go in front of football ground on a Saturday and say, hey, listen, I've got something to talk to you about racism. Yeah, come and listen, let's talk about it. End of part one. It's okay, that's end of part one. It's all right, I haven't finished, I'm going to continue with part two. So, that was mostly then about ethnic minorities,
racism, anti-racism. And I will try to put the MP3 of that onto...